Joy to the world, the Lord is come. You're going to hear that phrase a lot over the next several weeks. 300 years ago, composer Isaac Watts penned those words that have become so familiar and so special to so many. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. The truth of that line is going to echo through all that we do this Advent. The Lord is come. Each Advent, we begin the process of preparing for the Lord in new and fresh ways. And in ways we pray that will bring that truth to life. Maybe also in new and fresh ways, not only for us, but for the world. The Lord is come. That is the truth that sustains us, that gives us hope, that makes God's love known, that gives us joy, that is our source of peace. It is that truth, the Lord is come, that nurtures us and sustains us, and not only us, but that nurtures and sustains the whole world. Now, I'm not a science person, and my pronunciation on normal things is not very good, but I'm going to try to pronounce this word, mykorzai, I think is how it's pronounced. Mykorzai lies beneath the forest floor. It's a tangle of roots and fungi, also known, and get this, some cute scientist came up with that, as the wood wide web. Thank you for chuckling. Wasn't my joke. But this wood wide web lies under the ocean floor and connects many parts of the forest. The popular podcast Radiolab has an episode on mykorzai, and in the synopsis, it's described in this way. It's a strange creature that burrows beneath forests, building an underground network where deals are made and lives are saved or lost in a complex web of friendships and rivalries and business relationships. It's a network that scientists are only just beginning to untangle and map, and it's only beginning to turn our understanding of forest upside down. Now, I've got a picture of what mykorzai looks like. It's the white that's there. They aren't the roots of the grass or the plant. It's what connects all those roots. There's another closer look on the next picture of what it looks like. I've actually run into this when I've been in the woods. If I've been digging in the woods, pulling up a clump of something, I've seen the white on there, never knowing what it was. It ends up, it's this mykorzai. This extraordinary network of tiny tubes allows for different species of plants to share information and to share resources, nutrients. It's becoming understood that it is through these mykorzai that the life and nature of the forest is truly sustained and nurtured. That's the way that joy works. Joy that runs through everything. Not happiness, but joy, true, steadfast, and faithful joy. It's the joy that comes to the world in the person of Jesus that nurtures and sustains life, even when we have no idea that it's there, much like that network underneath the forest floor. The joy that comes from Jesus having come into the world is what binds everything together. It's what sustains everything, nurtures everything. Now, what kind of joy are we talking about? We're not talking about happiness, you know, just being cheerful. That kind of joy often results from our outward circumstances. When things are going well, when something good happens, it's easy to be happy, to be cheerful, to have a smile on your face, as I shared with Teddy as he was up here. Good things happen, so we're happy. I also don't think the kind of joy that we're talking about this Advent is just the opposite of grief or sorrow or pain or maybe the absence of those things. That seems to be an act of will. You can be experiencing a very difficult time in your life. You can look at the world and see nothing good to celebrate, but just make a decision, well, I'm going to be happy anyway. I'm going to ignore the pain and the grief and the problems I see, and you can make a choice to be happy. I don't think that's the joy that Watts was trying to capture either in his song. The joy of which Watts wrote and of which the angels sang is something that springs up organically. It's a way of being that can come about only when we are connected to the source of all life, only when we are connected to the one who is come. Preacher Dina Lauman writes this: joy resides in our inmost being. It's present no matter what is going on in the outside world. It's the connection with God that doesn't have to be chased after because it's already present. It only needs to be recognized and discovered. She goes on to write how she's reminded of the ending scene of The Grinch show, the movie, where the Grinch has done everything to take all the joy out of Christmas, remove anything that might help the people be joyful. The trees, the ornaments, the presents, everything's been taken away, thinking that somehow, that by doing all that, he's going to be able to keep the joy of Christmas from coming. Of course, in the movie, it doesn't work, because the joy of Jesus' birth is deeper, and it means something more than just all those items that the Grinch could remove. Joy is everlasting and tenacious, and it shows up at surprising times, even shows up in what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul, where he spoke of in a dark, deep time in his life that he was surprised by the presence of joy. You heard in the introduction to the reading that in their book of joy, Desmond Tutu and Dalai Lama identified one of the pillars of joy as perspective. Sometimes we need to see things from a different angle, to look below the surface to the source of all things. Isaiah looked around and saw a pretty bleak reality. He saw people and nations fighting and killing, wars being waged, no one to judge nation against nation, no one to bring peace. All he saw was this repetitive cycle of killing. And yet when he looked around, he saw a different reality also. He saw a reality beyond what his eyes were telling him. He looked around at a time of war and saw not just the destruction, but he saw what God was able to do, what God was doing in those very moments. And because of his ability to see a different reality, to see, if you will, below the surface, he gave us those very well-known images of swords being beat into plows and spears being turned into pruning tools. The world needs more people like Isaiah that can look at what's going on and see an alternate reality and try to make that reality visible to other people. Ronald Rayl, an architect and an artist, saw an opportunity to do just that. He looked at the wall that separated Juarez, Mexico from Sunland Park, New Mexico, and he saw an opportunity to see something different. And so he constructed three very, very large seesaws. He made them the color pink. Pink in Juarez, Mexico was an important color because it's come to represent all those women who have died at the hands of violence in Juarez. And so he made these seesaws out of pink, and they went in between the slats in the wall. And at a particular time, he gathered a whole bunch of children from Mexico and a whole bunch of children from New Mexico and gathered them there, and they played across that wall on the seesaws. The seesaw, a symbol for most kids of joy, a time to have fun, a time to be a child. And through this, what he was able to see, he took an image of separation and made it an opportunity for joy. He saw something beyond what most people would see when they looked at a wall. The theme for this week is preparing him room, hopeful joy. Hope is one of those ways that our hearts can be open for Jesus. Hope comes when we focus on the reality that the Lord, and with the Lord, joy has come into this world. I shared a little bit with Teddy that hope is not the same as a wish. A wish has no basis for foundation. I have wished my whole life for a fancy fishing boat with no reasonable expectation, no reason to believe that I may ever one day end up with one. But I've wished for one, not because I need it, but because I want it. Hope, on the other hand, is not hoping for something we want. It's hoping for something we need, and it's grounded in something. It's not just wishful thinking. It's grounded in the reality that there is one who is far bigger than we can possibly imagine or understand. And that one that we believe in is at work even now in ways below the surface we can't possibly imagine or begin to grasp. Joy is not something we find. Joy is something that we believe in hope will one day dawn, that will one day break into this world in which we live. Much like it broke in on that night in which Jesus was born. The question during Advent is, how can we get below the surface? How can we look beyond the present reality to see the deeper reality that even now is at work to nurture and sustain this world? How can we prepare for Jesus and for joy to come to us and to this world again? Romans 13 points us to one way. Be awake, be up and awake to what God is doing. Dress yourselves, the author says, in Christ, and be up and about. That recurring theme of doing something, of being up. We open ourselves and the world to joy, the joy that is the Lord, when others can see in us a different perspective, a different way of looking at things. When we are able to exhibit for other people hope. When we are able to stay connected to the source of all things, when we are at work in our own lives, beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning tools and turning a wall into a playground, when we join in our lives, in the way we live, in the attitude and the perspective we have, when we join through those things in the truth of what God has done, of what God is doing, and of what God will do, and we are making room not only in our hearts for Jesus, but in this world for Jesus. In Romans 15, there's a prayer that the author writes to those who are receiving his letter. And I'm going to leave it with you this morning. Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us make room in our hearts through hope, through joy, through dressing in Christ, and through being up and about the work of showing this world that there is a different perspective, a different reality. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.